Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow-em-yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at BonniePlants.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Jackie Berger, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that all over New York City, people know that they need to change the food system, and they want to make that change, but so often people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next half hour to introduce you to somebody who has started taking her passion and skills to bring change. Hopefully her story will help inspire you to create your own Just Food story. So today I'm very excited to be here in the studio with Cheryl Durant, an urban farmer, educator, and food justice advocate. She's the director of the Urban Farm and Garden Program for Sustainable Flatbush, which is developing community-based urban agriculture projects in Brooklyn. And in 2013, she developed a medicinal and culinary herb garden as an outdoor classroom on the grounds of the Flatbush Reformed Church. She is currently a 2014 Outreach Fellow for Five Borough Farms, helping to measure the impact of urban agriculture in New York City. And she has a background in marketing, which she brings to all of her projects, and holds a BBA in International Marketing from Borough College, CUNY. She's a native of Kingston, Jamaica, and currently resides in Brooklyn with her husband and son. Welcome so much, Cheryl, to Just Food Stories.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to have you here. So for those folks listening in who have never heard of Sustainable Flatbush, could you tell us a little bit about it?
Sustainable Flatbush was established in 2007, and we are a community-based grassroots organization started by our executive director, Ann Pope. And she started this organization because there was nothing like it in the neighborhood, and she was actually looking for a way to, retrofit her building for energy efficiency and mm-hmm. Sustainable Flatbush. And because there was no organization that she felt was helpful to mm-hmm. guide her along this path, she decided to start her own and, you know, get the information and to do this. And then the organization started to grow and expand and encompass a lot of other sustainable initiatives.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because that's one of the things that I admire the most about, well, there's a lot of things to admire about Sustainable mm-hmm. Flatbush, but I love the fact that it's so community focused, but also it doesn't just look at energy, it doesn't just look at transportation, it's really the whole sustainability picture for the neighborhood. Tell us a little bit more about what's happening there.
Well, at Sustainable Flatbush, we like to say our mission is to educate and advocate for sustainable living in our Brooklyn neighborhood and beyond. And we do that around four main initiatives. As you mentioned before, urban farm and gardens, mm-hmm. zero waste, which is usually reuse, recycling, composting, mm-hmm. Livable streets, where we prioritize pedestrians over cars.
I love it.
And renewable energy, where we do mostly education outreach to teach people about resources that they can access to retrofit their homes for energy efficiency and look for alternative ways of energy like solar energy, wind energy, and so forth.
So tell us a little bit more for folks who haven't been to the neighborhood of Flatbush. Tell us a little bit about what the neighborhood is like and how this organization is engaging that neighborhood.
I love Flatbush because I think Flatbush is probably one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Brooklyn, probably mm-hmm. New York City, probably the United States.
And possibly the world.
Yeah. We have a whole host of different demographics. We have Haitians, Jamaicans, Tibetans, Jews, people who come from other states. It's just a very diverse neighborhood. Even our housing stock is very diverse because interspersed with the our townhouses and our apartments, they are Victorian homes. So when people come to our neighborhood, they're amazed that not only we have a diverse population, but we have a diverse housing stock.
Mm-hmm. So Victorian homes mean there's yards.
And, there are yards, there are backyards and huge front yards, and there's lots of private green spaces. But one of the things we are challenged with in Brooklyn is public green space.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, our urban agriculture project or a community garden project grew out of this need for people who live in the townhouses and people who live in the apartments to also have access to green and open spaces.
So how did you get involved? How did you find Sustainable Flatbush and become the leading person taking on the urban agriculture and community gardening challenge?
I moved to Ditmas Park, which is a part of Flatbush, in 2006. And a year later, my husband was in Vox Pop Cafe, which used to be a watering hole, in a very popular watering hole in cafe in Ditmas Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these group of people with Anne that were talking about, expanding this organization and getting volunteer effort and how to promote the organization. And he says, oh, my wife is a marketer.
Your husband signed you up,
yeah,
huh?
My wife is a marketer. Maybe she can give you some pro bono marketing work.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I got started with Sustainable Flatbush. I was using my marketing skills to help them to promote their organization. And I became attracted to some of the projects that they did. And I became a volunteer. So it just grew organically.
So you started as the marketing volunteer.
The marketing volunteer.
How did you end up getting so dirty then in the process?
because I saw the projects, being the person who would help them to promote, some of their projects, I saw what some of these projects were. And I did not see anything else like this going on in any other neighborhoods at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were things like the electronic recycling in our neighborhood. There was parking day where we would like guerrilla style stake out parking spots and turn them into mini parks for a day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And then of course I got involved in their community gardening because the garden that we currently the project that we currently have, mm-hmm, wasn't the first time we had gotten involved in a community garden project. The first one was in somebody's private backyard that allowed us access to their space.
Oh, wow.
To develop a community garden.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And there was a tree walk, mm-hmm, just giving people tours of the tree landscape in Ditmas Park, mm-hmm, and Flatbush where we live. There was there are so many projects I can't even remember them. Hundreds probably, I would think, over the period of time. Oh, and there was also Green in Flatbush. It was our little mini green expo where we invited community green organizations to come to a space and showcase the work that we do.
Uh-huh.
We'd have people from somebody who would teach you how to do mushrooms, for somebody who would teach you how to propagate seeds in recycled plastic bottles, for somebody who had their own miniature solar hydroponic setup. So mm-hmm, these were like really somebody who would demonstrate seed bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very popular. And it also, we ran it for 3 years and it extended even beyond mm-hmm our local Brooklyn neighborhood.
I love how it was so very community focused, so very, very neighborhood focused.
Everything that we do is neighborhood focused.
I think that's really amazing because then you really, it is of buy in for the community when
exactly
you do it that way.
Exactly.
So I'm interested because you came into it from a marketing angle, but then got into these community gardens. Did you farm as a young person? How did you become a gardener, a farmer? How did you learn how to do those things? And what was it about that attracted you so much?
Honestly, farming never attracted me. And I never considered myself a green thumb. I always, my mother would, when I was young, if my mother went away and asked me to water the plants, when they came back, they would be dead. Yeah, so I'm serious. My mm-hmm father was trained as a farmer.
Okay.
And but he didn't work a long time in the profession. Most of the time he worked in education.
Mm-hmm.
So even though most of my family was around farming,
mm-hmm,
and my grandparents and great grandparents came from farming,
mm-hmm,
I lived in the city in Kingston, so farming never became a part of me.
Right.
You know, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get my MBA. I wanted to do that type of thing.
Right.
So to come full circle.
And that's a really common story, yeah. I think, is that when people have the opportunity to get off the farm and, you know, that becomes the trajectory, is that people are like, okay, I got to get away from the farm.
Exactly. We don't see that as a viable career option.
So how did that change for you? How did it become something that you became interested in and then fell in love with?
By being exposed to actually working in a community garden and actually putting my hand in the soil, I find that very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very calming. It's outdoors. It's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just connecting with nature and the earth can transform a person. Mm-hmm. Just that one little thing.
Yeah.
It's no big epiphany. You know, it's not I went to school and studied agronomy or anything. It's just actually getting my hands dirty with community members and planting and growing stuff that I can eat myself.
So was it challenging for you to try to learn how to do those things? Or how did you get supported in becoming an urban gardener?
I thought in the beginning I taught myself. If I didn't know something, I went and researched it.
Mm-hmm.
If I couldn't find it, I would find a resource in which I would learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If there were workshops and programs out there, I would get connected to them. So being connected to the soil and actually doing the work led to this desire and need for me to learn more about it. And the more I learned about it, the more I fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
To the point now, where I say, if there is a major in soil science somewhere out there,
uh-huh.
That's what I want to do.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's really the soils that...
Yeah, it's really getting to know the soil. It's fascinating knowing the ecology of the soil,
mm-hmm.
and the structures that it supports,
mm-hmm.
and what comes out of the soil.
I feel like that's when you know you're talking to a real farmer,
yeah.
that they're obsessed with the soil. and that's so awesome. And so how are you guys growing? So there are multiple community garden sites that are being worked with right now through Sustainable Flatbush, or is the focus on the one that's at the Flatbush?
The focus is on the one that is at the Flatbush Reformed Church.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are such a small community-based organization, I think one of the things that we try to do is when we help to develop community-based projects is to leave them in a state that they are sustainable beyond us.
Right.
We can walk away from them and the community can continue to do these projects.
Great.
Or we can transfer the project to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another one of our strengths is that because we recognize that we are small and community-based, is that we seek out partnerships and collaborations that will help us to realize the projects that we are doing. So I think for us, the Flatbush Reformed Church, mm-hmm. is a great partner. You know, they have allowed us the space, and because they are also a social justice oriented community, it's a natural partnership for us to have our projects be housed on their property. We get support from our council members, namely Jemani Williams in District 45,
mm-hmm.
who is an advocate for our organization. We have worked with organizations like Compost for Brooklyn, Brooklyn Food Coalition,
mm-hmm.
you know, Brooklyn College, you know. So because these organizations sometimes are larger than us and have better structures than us, we find that we can plug into them. And because we have similar goals and missions, we can work to develop projects that become successful.
That's great. And this is great. I want to come back and talk more about that model in just a second. But we have to take a short break. But we'll be back right back with Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org.
Change is coming around the bend. Shotgun wedding and a story penned about a bishop who gave up his soul to
feed a girl from the finger bowl. Next time you step up for the intention, remember most the great distinction between your life and the stories told about the deeds that made you old. Oh, though shatter me, sweep me up into your hands, then scatter me with the seeds upon your lands. Oh, burn me down, let me wear your golden crown. So
hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow them yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at bonnieplants.com.
Start again. Hi, welcome back. I'm Jackie Berger, and you're listening to Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org. And we're here with Cheryl Durant from Sustainable Flatbush, and she's got a million other hats that she wears as well. But Cheryl and I were just talking about the way that Sustainable Flatbush does work in communities. And you were saying that the model is that, and I like this model very much, where Sustainable Flatbush comes in, works on a project, and then takes a step back, because the goal is for that project to be sustainable beyond the input of resources and staffing that Sustainable Flatbush provides at the beginning of a project. So can you give a couple examples of places where Sustainable Flatbush has invested in and built a project and then stepped away or taken a step back?
Yes, I wasn't involved in this project, but one of the first community garden projects that Sustainable Flatbush was involved in was the Flatbush Community Garden, which is in Ditmas Park. And they were instrumental in setting up this garden, volunteering in this garden, helping to develop the model. And now that community garden is probably more than 7 years old.
Great.
And it's still operating. It's its current structure is a community membership. There are no individual plots. They all farm communally and benefit from this.
That's such a success story that you can point to a project like that and say 7 years later it's still growing and thriving.
It's still growing.
That's great.
And we used to be involved in the in our neighborhood, the electronic recycling project, which now we are a sponsor of this past time, but it's being spearheaded by the Flatbush Food Co-op. We no longer spearhead it, but it's not a project that has died. It's still going on.
So, I think it's such a great model, especially because if the folks at Sustainable Flatbush understand what it takes to do a program startup, which is so much work and it's such a specific skill set, and then you guys find a way to keep the structure and the management of a project sustainable, I think that's incredible, because then you can really do other things each year.
And within the community as well. And it stays within the community.
So talk to me a little bit about how the program engages the community. How do you know that the community feels welcome and can engage with your project? And how do you really respond to the needs of your community?
That's a very good question. A lot of the outreach that we do is through the usual channels as a marketer, through social media, through flyers, through word of mouth. And I think a big part of it is also observation, seeing what is needed in the community. And a good example of this, I think, is our medicinal herb garden.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Yeah. The current garden that we had started as a container vegetable garden, and it's a small garden. It's not large. It's less than 500 square feet, about 400 square feet. And whatever we used to grow there in containers, we would just donate to the church's community meal and to our volunteers. And I thought that we needed to do more to connect to the community and give back to the community in a way that's tangible and more meaningful. And also, we were also limited by the location of the plot, how much sun we would get, and all of that. And I was just walking through the neighborhood one day, and I use this apothecary called Sacred Vibes Apothecary. I love their model. I love what they do for the community. They teach people about the benefits of using alternative medicine through herbs to for preventative and treatment around health. And I just walked in there one day and I said, I've been thinking about a partnership between Sustainable Flatbush and you guys that would benefit our community. And we just sat down and started talking.
I love it.
About what if we developed a neighborhood herb garden, growing herbs that we would then use to teach the community around different themes, how these herbs that most of them you know you use in the kitchen can also benefit you medicinally and nutrition-wise.
And when did this conversation happen? Did this just happen or was this last year?
This was last year.
Okay, last year.
This happened last year. So we, along with Sacred Vibes and the owner of Sacred Vibes, Karen Rose, she has an apprenticeship program. And she suggested that her apprentices to qualify to be master herbalists have to satisfy 30 hours of volunteer apprenticeship. 30 hours of apprenticeship work. And maybe in collaboration with Sustainable Flatbush, those 30 hours could be done through giving workshops, teaching about these herbs. So in partnership with Sacred Vibes and in collaboration with the apprentices, we developed a 6 series workshop last summer around different themes. And one was around women, menstruation to menopause. One was around kids, how to use medicinal herbs for safely for kids. One was just about kitchen herbals, how the simple herbs that we use in the kitchen also have medicinal properties. And one of our most popular ones, which is part of how we connected to the community, was around trauma and elder care. That made me realize we have a large West Indian community in Flatbush. A lot of these communities have elders, parents who live with them. A lot of these communities connect to herbal medicine from their homeland. So it was like, it was a natural plug-in and it was a natural interest for them to reconnect with something that they had already known. And some of them even gave me lessons.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and from there, we developed this amazing partnership. The apprentices came. They taught the workshops. They helped to develop the garden.
So they came and they did the workshops in the garden?
In the on the church property. And then we would tour the garden because the garden is now this flourishing classroom by the time summer came around with all these different types of herbs. And we would have these workshops. Some were an hour and a half. Some were 3 hours. We got buy-in from not only the community, but all over the city.
People were coming.
People were coming to these workshops.
So are you guys going to do this again?
Yes, we are actually planning our year 2 of our series.
That's so great.
And it's going to happen again in the summer. And I don't have the final themes yet, but they're going to be a slightly different from what we did last year.
And if people go to sustainableflatbush.org, is that where people should go to find?
Yes, people can go there to find information about the herbal workshops. We have a calendar that we establish, and once we have the final dates and themes, they'll be posted on the calendar.
Great.
And I also say we use other media to advertise our workshops.
So how else can people find out about what's going on?
The meetup group at Just Foods.
Oh, the City Farming Meetup Group. Good. Okay. So if you guys join the City Farming Meetup Group, you can find out about these herbal workshops. What other big plans do you have for the coming season?
We just established a partnership with Mukti's Kitchen.
Mukti's Kitchen. That's M-U-K-T-I, apostrophe S, Kitchen.
And this is exciting and new to me because I feel it's a natural expansion of, a natural, you know, expansion along the medicinal herb garden that we now do. Mukti is an Indian cook. She cooks organic, vegetarian Indian meals.
I know. We talk about it and I get hungry. Keep going.
And we're going to do these cooking workshops over the summer in conjunction with our, not at the same time, but, you know, as part of our expanded workshop series to teach people how to cook organic, vegetarian Indian food that's healthy and wholesome in the American way.
I love it. Yeah. I think there are so many amazing resources. And so I feel like I hope that all of our listeners are making notes to go to Sustainable Flatbush, to go to the Flatbush Reformed Church Garden so that they can take advantage of these incredible mm-hmm. herbal workshops and medicine and cooking workshops. Before, you know, we don't have that much time left, but I would love to ask you about, because I know you just became a fellow mm-hmm. for the Five Borough Farm Project. And mm-hmm. so you're going to be looking at, well, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be looking at.
Well, what we're trying to do is measure, very simply, measure the good things that people do in their garden. Mm-hmm. And we have developed these metrics around the different things that people do, from food production mm-hmm. to waste, mm-hmm. composting, to even intangible things as, you know, how simple things like how does working in a garden affect the psyche of someone? You know, the yum and yuck appeal, what you like and what you don't like uh-huh. in the garden, because you're trying to bring in as many different groups, ages, and demographics within your community garden.
And so for folks who aren't familiar with Five Borough Farm Project, they've been working on this metrics project for many years
yes,
now.
Yes, this is the third year, actually.
So what will you be doing in your fellowship to move the project forward?
I would say I would be giving technical assistance to help people to use these metrics effectively and to identify which metrics are best suitable for their particular garden.
So is this something you're are you an open door, or are there specific gardens you already are set up to work with?
Actually, I am an open door.
Oh.
Yeah. If there are gardens in, we have a kickoff on May 17 mm-hmm. Around this initiative. And if there are gardens that we haven't reached out to that are interested in being a part of this project, we would love to hear from them.
What a great resource. So if a community gardener is listening, you're working with community gardens in any one of the five boroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And May yes. 17th, where is the kickoff event happening?
It's going to be at Hunter College.
At Hunter College.
Yes, in their cafeteria, third floor, I think. Yeah.
Okay. And is that an open call for anybody who might be interested in participating in this project?
This particular workshop is from 2 to 5 p.m. I mean, there is a cutoff. When we get filled up, we get filled up.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, so it's like if I think we're looking for 200 gardens.
That's a lot of gardens,
There's a
though.
Lot of gardens, yeah,
to
participate in this project.
So if a garden wants to participate in this project, what will they get by working with you?
They will get on the toolkit. They will get they will sign up for on the website called The Barn.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been developed by Farming Concrete.
Okay, so it's called thebarn.org?
Barn.farmingconcrete.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure Google can get you there.
Get you there,
point.
Yeah. And they have all these different metrics that you can sign on to measure different aspects of.
So it's a multiple choice list.
Yeah.
You don't have to do everything.
You don't have to do everything. And actually, what this does is helps you to identify what works for you.
Uh-huh.
You know,
oh, great.
And which metrics are applicable to your particular garden. Because for one garden, they might want to measure compost intake or outtake.
Right.
Another garden might want to actually measure the actual production that they do in their garden. You know, another garden might want to measure the scope of their education outreach.
It's such a great resource.
Yeah. And they can also go on the Fiber Farm .org website mm-hmm. and learn more about this and become involved.
I hate to cut us off here, but I'm so glad we got through all of that. Cheryl, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been so great talking to you. I also want to thank Jack, who's in the studio engineering today's show. Hopefully this story has helped to inspire you to create your own Just Food story and to take advantage of all these incredible resources through Five Borough Farm Project and Sustainable Flatbush. You can always find archived episodes of Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. See you next week, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.